Okay. So I wanted to speak about the altar from Kelms, Chabura. This Chabura was called the Devek Tov. And this Chabura was actually a Chabura of his close Talmidim and himself, which promoted the unity between these members of the Chabura. And by way of prelude, I want to read to something together, something which he wrote about Tisha B'Av. He says that, hi Ron. Okay, so he says that the building of Yerushalayim and its consolation has to correspond to the primary reason for its destruction. Oh, I forgot to start the broadcast. Just a second. Okay. Okay, let's... just a second. I started actually earlier. Okay. So the Altar of Kelm writes, the building of Yerushalayim and its consolation, it corresponds to its primary destruction. In other words, the reason for the consolation will be the same, the antithesis of the referred to as why it was destroyed. Just like somebody who destroys a building this has to rebuild it, if he wants to rebuild in the same way, has to reconstruct it based on what destroyed the building. So to Ron says it froze. Is it still frozen? Back. Okay, good. So you have to rebuild it in the way the opposite way it destroyed, which was it was destroyed through Sinas Chinam and also by Bittul Torah. And therefore, the way to rebuild it is to embed in our hearts the love of other creatures and to learn Torah with love as well. That's the way to rebuild Yerushalayim. That's a mild statement. Then he makes a much stronger statement. He says, we see that the masses say kinos on Tisha B'Av and they cry. Actually, I don't know very many people cry on Yom Kippur. I wish I on Yom Kippur or Tisha B'Av. I wish I did. But it says here that people cry. What are they crying on? They're crying on the travails that people underwent back then, on the killing of the 10 martyrs, Asar Ruge Malchus. And this is like somebody who's crying when he hears a story, a parable. That is, he says, Ma'aseh Nashim. Says that's what women do. In other words, women get all sentimental when they read something which is tear-jerking. I think I do too, which I don't know what to say about that. But if you read something sad, or novel which is sad, or you read a story which is sad, so then you get sad. So, but it's silly because it's a story, it's fiction, it's nothing. So he says, what, and here too, even though it's historical, if it is historical, because there's certain aspects of Kinos which are definitely allegorical, but if it is historical, it's water on the bridge. It happened already, a long time ago. Why are you crying about it now? He says, no. So therefore, what you have to cry, if you want to cry, if you want to get emotional, you have to analyze why the sorrows befell us. And we know that they all have a reason. And there's one reason which they have primarily, which is Sinas Chinam, the testation of each other for naught. Now, this is an interesting phenomenon, Sinas Chinam. The interesting thing about Sinas Chinam is that it's not what we think it is. The Sinas Chinam, as he puts here in elsewhere, the Altar from Kelm, he says, very often you have a person who thinks that he likes other people, thinks he loves other people, but actually, in all honesty, when he sees his person's friend being successful, then he's jealous. He can't stand it. When he sees, certainly if it's a competitor, he sees that he gets jealous and really can't stand it. So, avas brios means that if I see my friend, doing something and succeeding, I rejoice in that. I don't feel bad that I got left behind or that I'm not on the same level or that good fortune did not befall me. The sinas china means a resentment, not just a detestation or a hatred, but a when the truth is that I should always want to have positive things happen to all people, not just myself. That happens all the time, this concept of sinas china. We know because of the miskane, everybody gets jealous of somebody, except for the chazal say from one's own children. So there's some, I think there's some will say from one's own medium. But in any event, for most people, you get jealous and you resent if they are successful and you're not. Again, not that their success has any detracts from yours in any way, shape, or form, but the very fact that they're successful and you're not causes resentment. And that resentment causes in and of itself sinas china. Now, in order to overcome this, Alter Kelm brought together this group, and they called them the Devik. They called themselves the Devik Tov, the good group. Right? They were glued to each other, Devikus with each other. So, and they were Takonos. They are Takonos Tau to those who join the group of the Devik Tov. And I want to go tonight to the Takonos. Takona number one, to love each other with a special love as a person loves a brother up to the point that it should be close to a natural love. So there's a certain natural love and affinity between close relatives. That's not intrinsic to friends. The Altman Kalm is saying that the love which we have for our friends should be similar, almost as natural love between two people who are related to each other. In the footnote here, it brings down here from a letter. In this letter, it said that the author added that a person should have many people whom he loves, but the extra special ones with whom he can share his secrets and with whom he can have the greatest degree of proximity, they are very, very few. And in fact, throughout the years, it seems that there are chaburas. We know the Ramchal is such a chabura he brings down here from the Reb Sholem Sharabi and the Marit Agadi and the Chida, who were a chabura in Yerushalayim in the late 1800s, in the late 1700s, that there was the concept of you have to love everybody. But it's very easy to love everybody as a theory. It's very hard to, when you get down to brass tacks, to love specific people. People can be big or they so in the sense that they love Klal Yisrael and they can't stand any individual member of Klal Yisrael. So that actually requires much more concerted avodah. So the groups were formed where people would be able to work with each other on their avas abrios. So he read one of the takonos of this early chabura in the late 1800s, as I said, is first, the first takona was, this is written in 1758. The first takana is that we should all be ohavim zelazeh. Ahavor rabba. Ahavas nefesh, bahavas aguf. A great love, a great love with soul, and a love with body. And it's an incredible way of talking. We don't talk that way anymore. That's because we're morons. But once upon a time, people were able to actually connect with each other in a more profound way. Okay, so, as says the author of Kelm, if we are really concerned with each other, how does that manifest itself? It manifests itself in our yearning to know from each other, each person's material state, what he's involved with, what his matters are, and the matters of his household, what has he lost, what has he gained, the state of peace, I'm not sure it means peace in his household, I assume so, and the state of his health, chas v'sholom, and many things like that. So actually, it says the Alter from Kelm, a basic foundation of friendship, and I think this is reminiscent of Maslow's pyramid, is that you have to be concerned not just with your connection to that person, and not just that person's spirituality, but also with the material existence and material fortune of that person. That, because in a natural love, even the material aspect of the friendship is a critical aspect. That's the first takana. The second takana was to get together at least once a year in order that we should all see each other face to face and to rejoice together with the joy of brethren who love each other, who are part of the same covenant, when they get together, that they have a special sense of enjoyment. Now, says the Alter Rebbe, it's obvious that this should be during Yomim Noroim, and it should be in the center, which means in Kelm, in the yeshiva. So, wouldn't be obvious to us that it's Yomim Noroim, probably be more obvious to us that it should be in Purim, or Hanukkah, but the Alter Rebbe would say, no, the best time to have this great simcha is during Yomim Noroim, because this is what it's all about. The schus of the Avas Yisrael is what propels Klal Yisrael towards the Gula, what would give us a Chasima Toiva, and, of course, that is what makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, have Nachas Ruach in this world. So therefore, the best time for it is Yomim Noroim. Here he says that the manifests itself, how so? In that we prepare each other, we prepare ourselves, sorry, with the proper preparations for this gathering, in order that we shouldn't be embarrassed and ashamed from our friends, and therefore that elevates us at the appropriate time of year. And the advantage of getting together is, besides that, that after this coming face-to-face, it's going to be easy to correspond with each other. Because obviously, once we reveal to each other all of our issues in that main meeting, so then we have an easier commonality when we have to correspond by letter alone. Now, here too is a very interesting thing. I think this froze again. Oh, that's unfroze. Here's this very interesting thing for our generation, because obviously our generation does not have depths of relationships, but it does have email and video chat, which means that the capacity to connect, which was far more limited in the old days and could only really take place via correspondence, which was slow and not as personal, can be supplanted nowadays by a much more direct contact, which transcends thousands of miles and the great distances. And perhaps this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us these tools. Hashem gave us these tools in order we should be able to connect to a greater extent in order to cultivate the Avos Abrios, which is the ultimate necessary precursor of the Gula. Perhaps it's a thought. Okay, and now says the Alter Rebbe Kelm, and this is what we do within the Aguda, within the group. But we have to not just have a group which is concerned with each other, but has a common concern, a common focus and direction. So what's the first thing? He says, the first thing is, of course, we mechazik oneself in learning Torah with bi'iyun uva'omek, in depth and with analysis, every person according to his relative state. Somebody who is free every day, meaning that he doesn't have a business, he should have two shiurim a day, one in Iyun and one in Bekiyas. So, of course, as certainly a good litvak, the basis is learning. Not everything else is after that. The platform is learning. But he says, this is important, but all this is not to learn Torah. Ron writes, we have a big cheeseburger in our home. I'm sure that is. Okay. In any event, he says that we can't make the Torah into a tool with which to dig Kargam Lachborbo, meaning that this Torah, which you're learning as part of the Kabbalah for the Chevra of Devik Tov, has to be Torah which you learn Lishma. And each person, according to his capacity for the purpose of the mitzvah, L'shem Shamayim. It's always possible to learn Torah for ulterior motives. And unfortunately, very often we find ourselves learning Torah for ulterior motives. The learning for the Chabura every day, whatever it is, has to be learning Lishma, because that's what uplifts a person and causes him to be transcendent and allows him, of course, to connect to other people in a transcendent way as well. The next type of learning which one has to be mechazik oneself? Yeah, well, good question. What the outer hell does learning Torah Lishma meant that Adam has here? I don't think that he would say that it's anything different than the Nefesh HaChayim, which means that to learn Torah for the Torah's sake in and of itself. In other words, without any ulterior motive whatsoever. Just to lose oneself, so to speak, in the learning. I don't know that for a fact, but that would be my assumption that that would be the case. I don't know if he speaks about it here, but let's assume that that's the case. Now, he says that the second type of learning which one has to be mechazik oneself is, of course, learning Musar. And he says to learn at least a half an hour a day, lo pachos, not less, except for Shabbos and Yom Tov. Because Shabbos and Yom Tov, you have to learn more than a half an hour of Musar. And he says you have to use special strategy and special wisdom, actually special wise strategies, that this learning should not be like a shir or any other learning, which it's a mitzvah to learn, and which is kind of a mitzvah by learning. And when you finish the learning, you finish the mitzvah. Rather, this learning should be with the intent that there should come some unique advantage in either yira or any other midah, or to remove the stone from one's heart, or to remove one's skepticism, or to uplift one's and improve one's deeds, or to improve one's thoughts, one's fantasies. This is the purpose of the Musar. And therefore, Musar cannot be just a mode of learning. It has to be a mode of uplifting. It has to not just be a unit in and of itself. It has to have a carryover the rest of one's life. And then afterwards, you have to check and you have to experiment to know and to analyze if you, in fact, receive that advantage which you wanted to get out of this learning. And his deeds and his works would be with this as learning Musar, like a person who has a business, a commercial endeavor, who will have a goal of what he wants to accomplish, and he'll direct all of his business dealings to this intent in order to accomplish that which he intends to accomplish. And he will not have any other goal in his business than that which gets him to where he wants to go. And nobody engages in business in order to be called a businessman. Yeah, people engage in Musar in order to be called a Baal Musar. That's a mistake, obviously. One's supposed to learn to engage in Musar in order to become rich in Musar, not in order that people should call you Baal Musar. You know it's Baal Musar, think of yourself as Baal Musar. Like a businessman doesn't involve some business to be businessman, but rather to make money. Therefore, there has to be a purpose for the Musar learning, not in and of itself. And then you do things in a way which impels you forward. And it's like a businessman who wants to make as much profit as possible and drive himself to the highest possible level of wealth. So to about Musar, has to be somebody who's driven to implement and grow in the Musar. That somebody who does not learn Musar every day, interesting, he doesn't say this about the learning Ian and Bakias, he says, should pay a fine. And should gather the fine to send it or to bring it to the yeshiva when people come together. And if somebody conceals the fact that he missed days of learning Musar, then he's a non-trustworthy person and he's not a good friend. A good friend reveals that he has shortcomings. I don't know if a Rebbe has severe shortcomings. I'm not sure if Talmud has severe shortcomings. But a Chaver is supposed to reveal his shortcomings through his Chaver. It's a very different relationship. Gimel. A person has to be mechazing themselves in the third account. But you have to be mechazing themselves in davening. Daven with analysis and in a musardika way. What does it mean in a musardika way? That your ears should hear what your mouth is saying, and your heart should understand it. And you should toil as much as possible to make an impression within yourself. In other words, most of us, when we daven, we don't really daven with our hearts, with our ears and heart, hearing what we are saying. It certainly doesn't make any kind of impact. So that's, to daven al pi musar is to learn lessons from the davening. In our day and age, I don't think we can do this very often. It's the nature of our existence. But we should try and do it as much as we possibly can. And perhaps we can have special times, like Shabbos and Yom Tov, for sure, when one can be more focused on what one can learn from one's davening, in terms of one's avodas Hashem, in terms of one's musar. Fundamental thing he writes elsewhere is that all davening is belushan rabin, is in plural, because it's supposed to teach us we never daven for our own selves, we daven for Klaisel. That is a basic lesson of the need for avas reim, to love one's friends, that one daven for the klal, never for oneself. Okay, the fourth takana was to keep the Eitzah HaYedua, which is in the known idea, which is an amazing elixir. Now, before we get into that Anna's question, worth putting time to learn the Farshim on the sinner. So, it is. It definitely is a worthwhile endeavor. How much time? I'm not sure, but it certainly is worthwhile. And that's a life taking, although I don't always use it on Shabbos, we're going to have more time, taking a sinner which has at least the interlinear translation, so I can actually see new ideas, new vistas of thought, which I might not have necessarily perceived previously. Now, getting back to what he says here, the Eitzah Yedua. The Eitzah Yedua is in Kelm, was thought focus. Focusing one's thought and not getting distracted. And that means that you can do it in spurts. And they used to have a special seder in Kelm, a five-minute seder, to show what a person can accomplish in 5 minutes. They put just value and use the 5 minutes properly. So the Eitzah Yedua, I'm not sure in this context how a person, what he's demanding of a person, and whether it's there's supposed to be more, depending on what you're capable of, or it's a set amount, but that Eitzah Yedua, I believe, is the Eitzah of focus, concentration, and using one's time properly. Okay, the fifth takana was to learn Tomer Dvora every day. Tomer Dvora is a sefer which tells us how to emulate Hashem based on the Yudgim Amidos HaRachamim. And takes the, not the Yudgim Amidos HaBir Chumash, but as they appear in the Navi, Mikel Kamocha, etc. But it goes to the Yudgim Amidos and the Spiros and tells us how to emulate Hashem in our actions towards our fellow human beings. So obviously is a way in which one can enhance one's avos habrios. The sixth takana is to write this, is to read this Kabbalah twice a week. Also, the same way we said before, as a musar lesson. In other words, not just to read it, but to see how to grow in it, how to manifest itself to an even greater degree. The seventh takana, was to set aside a time to focus with very good focus in the way known way in remembering the day of death and the different imagery which goes with that. The PSS there has an exercise in Nachshon Sivrechim, a great length of how a person can depict to himself the day of death and his gradual descent into the tomb and into the grave. And this actually is something which I don't know if the Alter Kelm discusses at great length, but it's the same idea. The focus, the meditative focus, and the concentration with imagery on something which is going to be moving to a person. And Chazal tells us the ultimate mover is the day of death. The eighth takana is to learn a shiur of Shulchan Aruch Orachayim every day, if possible, in order to know what one should do, Mishnah Berurah, or HaShulchan, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The ninth takana was to be mechazik the power of thought. all comes back to an Eitzah Yedua, to think in order. In our ADHD generation, this is very hard to do. And to be honest with you, I think there were a certain number of people who eventually became the Rebbe who left Kovna and left Kelm and went to Slabodka because they couldn't hack this regimentation of thought to the extent that Kelm demanded it. Kelm demanded very high regimentation of thought. There's a famous story of you come to Kelm and you forgot your raincoat on the rack. You could come back 10 years later and still be in the rack where you left it. And that once when some nobleman came to visit the Beis Medrash of Kelm, none of the Talmidim looked up when he came into the room to see who this VIP was. Now, the stories are meant to express the tremendous capacity of mind control that a person was supposed to be able to exercise over himself when a person was in Kelm. Some people don't have those kinds of personalities. They have kind of genius type personalities which require them to have more unstructured and creative approach to life. But from our perspective, us morons in our generation, as I always say, the ADD generation, whatever little focus we could possibly get is a wonderful thing to try and attempt to get. And I'm not saying that I'm any good at this, but that is the focus was the hallmark of Kelm, something which we should actually try and improve ourselves in. To think in order and in a complete manner. In other words, not to think in fragments, which is what we do. We all multitask, right? We have one computer screen open on one share, another time the other computer screen is open on Facebook, a third computer screen is on a game, right? And we are never focused on one thing from beginning to end in a unit. That's what the Alpha from Kelm demands of us. One and two, think in this one unit in order that you should accustom yourself over time to always be doing and never be butthole. Never be, what's the word I'm looking for? Idle. Should always be in gear. Never be idle. And Hashem should help us to do this. Now, he says that there are other things which the Chabura should undertake on itself, but he says that's it for now. At this time, we should all come together and we mechazik ourselves, he says, to affirm and to sustain and to do the particulars which are written in this Kabbalah without any exception. And we should be like one per person we should be as one in our going towards a goal and a purpose. You know, it's the famous Raman Peo Shemeshnayas. Peo Shemeshnayas says that there are three levels of friendship, says the name of Aristotle. The lowest level of friendship is where people want to exploit each other for mutual gain. The second level of friendship is where people have an intimacy that they can counsel together. And there are actually four levels, but the middle one is divided into two. So, but I'm just mentioning the second of the two, where the person can take counsel of the friend, let down their hair, etc., etc. The third level of friendship, says Rambam, is when two people are united, focused on a common goal and a transcendent purpose, and they are working together in order to accomplish that goal. So that's really what binds people together in the ultimate sense, is the commonality of purpose to achieve transcendence. That's the highest possible unity which can be accomplished. That's really the Avos HaBrios of Am Yisrael, supposed to be the unity of purpose, which is Avodas Hashem, Kiddush Shem Shamayim, which unifies all of us and gives us a sense of love for each other because we're all involved in this great mission and purpose together. Now, the idea of individuals being mechazik each other, says the Alter of Kelm, is critical because that's what obviously makes friendship. Now, he says, since it's hard for each and every person, for every member of the group, should write all of his matters to all the 10 members of the group, there were 10 members, and it would take a lot of time. Therefore, we decided that each one of us should write once a month to the center, in other words, to Kelm, what he's doing and what extent he is keeping the details. What he learned in Gemara, Rashi, Tosafot, and he has to report every month. And these were already alumni. These are big Talmidei Chachamim. He has to report every month to the center. There's accountability every month to the center in order to notify how much he learned, the quality of their learning Musar, not how much, because that doesn't matter, but the quality of the learning Musar, and in the, it actually is here in the footnote, that elsewhere he wrote that they should also let the center know what you were Mekabel for Yom Kippur, and how are you doing in being, you're fulfilling the Kabbalah, you're Mekabel, which is interesting because, yeah, actually this book which I'm using here, the Sefer, is called Kitzvei HaSaba Mikam Pinkas HaKabbalos, the book of his Kabbalos, because it has lots of his Kabbalos from Yomim Noroim from various different years, and they are fascinating and sometimes very, very inspirational. And obviously the Kabbalah of Yom Kippur was a big thing for the altar. There was a way in which one can start off the year on an upward trend. In any event, it says, so instead of Eve, all the 10 corresponding with each other, everybody should send reports to the Merkaz, and then the group should get together 2x2 or 3x3, and these 2 or 3 will make a unit within the large group, and they will be the ones who correspond with each other at all times. So that is what the altar, those were the takanos of the Devek Tov, and it's in fact I read recently, I think in the Hebrew Wikipedia, that the altar has many, many letters which he wrote in the course of his life, which are published in Chochma Musar, this is Musar says without him, and that all of these letters were essentially written to the Devek Tov in order to be mechazik each other in a unified purpose and in unified learning. So the idea of Tisha B'Av is certainly one of fixing what went wrong and what is still wrong. And the way we fix what is wrong is by cultivating love and friendship between ourselves. And this is something which I don't know exactly how, to what extent we can emulate the Alter from Kelm in our generation, but I think that something which is worthwhile thinking about is perhaps not to, as I sometimes occasionally do, push people off the phone. In other words, very often we lose patience, and because we're in the middle of our computer game, we're in the middle of our learning, whatever it is, and we don't want to be bothered. So perhaps a small Kabbalah, of course, you can make much larger Kabbalahs, and we can make a Chabura, a Devek Tov Chabura, but to think on Tisha B'Av is also a time for Kabbalahs. I mean, Makabal, things which will be Misakim, which will fix the reason why the Beit Hamikdash is destroyed. And especially in our day and age, where there's so much sinas chinam among Jews, far more than we can even, than we can imagine ever existed previously, where so many different factions can't get together, can't work together, forget about non-religious, but among the religious ourselves, obviously it's a time of tremendous need for chizuk. So the I don't know if we'll be able to start a cell to be mechazik this, but it's something we should keep in mind, and we should try and aspire at least a little bit to think of how we can improve in our own relationships with others. Now, relationships with spouse and children, but what we are focusing on specifically tonight is relationship with other non-related people. And the schus of Avos Yisrael, of course, we hope to make Mikdash. We will be rebuilt in Heir of Yomeinu, Amen.
Amen.
Any questions? No? Okay. So I hope everybody has a meaningful and easy fast. I appreciate being able to say a share because it gives me what to think about on Tisha B'Av. Have a great Shabbos.
Shabbos, easy fast.